Hello, welcome back to One Newsman and a Web Guy. This just in, we have a new Prime Minister.
Yes, Scott Morrison takes the top job.
We spoke about all the action that was happening in Canberra this week, and we spoke about that a few days ago, before anyone knew what the heck was going on. So we were really talking about it really in the thick of things when it was all happening.
But what came from that is you had a very strong opinion on this, and it was very contrasting to mine, which is a bit of a change.
I had some words to say. You grilled me about that.
Mm.
Other than that, we also spoke about the 3D Homer Simpson that shocked and appalled the world this week.
Perfect words for that, shocked and appalled. Sometimes things are left alone, should be left alone, and I reckon this is one of them.
I also got very deep into a story about snake pastor, and that is a man who preaches.
Not spaghetti. Not snake pastor.
Yeah, a man who preaches and while preaching proves something, I don't know what, by holding a rattlesnake at the same time, and it went wrong. We'll talk about what went wrong and maybe why.
Mm.
Anyway, I was fascinated. I got you to just ask me anything about it because I became quite a buff on this story.
You did. You tested my newsman skills. How do you reckon I went? It's probably about a 7 out of 10 for picking the right questions.
7 out of 10 for presentation. I tape it off after that. Anyway.
Sorry.
I have a running theory that winning the lotto will ruin your life.
Nah, that's not right. I've got it all planned out if I win it.
Well, we uncovered more evidence this week that what I am saying is true.
Mm.
A real cautionary tale to tell about winning the lotto. So if you've ever bought a lotto ticket or you do buy lotto tickets, you must hear this. Anything else, newsman?
No, I reckon let's get straight into it. Tim, a real political circus in Canberra this week. It's been really hard to keep up with all the wheelings and dealings and where it will all end up. And unfortunately, we won't know when this is first listened to by our listeners what actually happened. But basically, Malcolm Turnbull, the Prime Minister, looking safe only a couple of weeks ago, bit of worries about opinion polls and some of the issues. But in the space of 3 to 4 days... leadership contenders coming from all angles.
Oh boy, by the time this publishes, all we can say for sure is someone will be Prime Minister. And beyond that, you really couldn't say. I was thinking, imagine trying to publish a newspaper in this week where, you know, there's a certain deadline where they have to print the thing.
Mm.
And then this story just changes like literally every hour.
Yeah, yeah.
By the time you report something, it's already out of date.
And it's opened up so many people have been able to crack jokes. Any short period of time, I saw a V8 driver on a ferry. Someone said, oh, by the time he makes it to the other side of the river, there'll be a new Prime Minister.
Mm-hmm.
I saw someone tweet about, you know, they just got out of the shower after 15 minutes. Who's the Prime Minister?
Oh.
There's a lot of jokes being cracked at the expense of the coalition at the moment.
Yep.
Now, I've been rabbiting on all week about how I think it's just terrible that the coalition of, you know, they're going into dangerous territory, getting a new leader. We're only a year out from an election, and why would you sort of play with what you know just because you're all trying to jostle your positions and make sure you keep your jobs? But then I read this really inflammatory blog by a very powerful writer. His name, Tim Ashdown.
AKA Web Guy.
Tell us your take on the revolving door that is the Prime Ministership of Australia.
I had the idea because I noticed that everyone was outraged. Like, everyone says how terrible this is because we've had a lot of Prime Ministers get rolled before their term is up.
Mm.
and you know, it's happened a lot now, and everybody is saying, this is awful, it's wrong, it's terrible for Australia. And I just felt, well, this is weird that everybody agrees with this one, on this one thing, because no one ever agrees on anything. We have found the first thing the whole country has agreed on. And I just thought, I smell a rat here. We've all been, there's some brainwashing element, because I'll be honest, I felt like, yeah, this is terrible. My gut feel is, this is really a dumb thing to do, guys. But then when I thought about it more, I thought, well, hang on, is it so dumb? And then I started to think of all these reasons why, hey, maybe this is not so bad to just keep burning through PMs like this.
What I took from your article or post or blog, sorry, trying to get with the times, blog, is you sort of reflected it on society in general, that we're not set in stone anymore with a lot of our decisions and movements in life.
Oh yeah, well, even just an area you know very well, just looking at the media, like think about how differently the media runs from, you know, say 1980, even 1990, even the year 2000.
Mm.
How differently from then to now, like the whole industry is on its head.
Mm.
Like what was up is now down, what was sideways is now vertical, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean,
everything is flipped up. So why not the political process completely reinvented or inverted?
Mm. I mean, probably from the, would it have been the early 80s, a newspaper that brought out two editions in a day was cutting edge. That was how you got the very latest news. Now that just seems silly.
Yeah, everything's changed. And I do feel like to keep changing PMs, the bad thing is if, you know, we're not getting good stuff done for the country, because, you know, there's more to think of than just the next political term. Like, we're trying to have a country here. Let's do some things for the future. Let's bed some stuff down for our own interests. And maybe all this chopping and changing hurts that. And people get outraged about that. But then I also thought, well, you know, like, so the government might be struggling to get all that great stuff done. Well, I mean, that's not really new. Like, isn't that always been a problem? Like, that's, I don't think that's a new thing.
I guess the thing that cuts deep for people is the whole democratic principle is we elected these people for this term, and we had an assumption that the guy or the woman that was put up at the front will be the leader, will be the prime minister for the allocated time that we voted on. So perhaps do we down the track get rid of election terms, and there's some way that we can all have a say if there's going to have this massive overhaul of a political party? Is there a quick way, can we all tweet together or something? I don't know.
You're talking like potentially maybe like the old plebiscite thing where we all got to vote on gay marriage. Do we all, now we all get to vote? It would not be practical.
No.
Surely that would be insane.
But in the theme of your blog is, you know, is going to the polls like a physical poll. It's too long. It's too, if we're going to do things so quickly now, maybe organising to go in and use a pencil and paper to fill out your forms is antiquated.
Right. Well, that's
so we get instantaneous results.
Sounds like you might have a blog post of your own bubbling away there. I don't know. I don't really know what you're suggesting. I'm intrigued. I want to know more. I want to hear how this this voting by Twitter would work. I'm
on
board.
That's about as far as I've planned.
Without really getting it, I'm on board. 100%.
Well, who knows who is in lead? Who's leading the country as you're listening to this? We have no idea. Absolutely no idea. Could be three or four different people.
Newsman, I love to take something fun and turn it into something upsetting.
How is this done? Please explain.
This week it's been done by, let's call him a quote-unquote artist.
Yeah.
Now, he is an artist. Who has developed some 3D models of what Homer Simpson would look like in real life.
Mm.
So the idea being he's taken the Homer cartoon character, turned him into a, it's kind of like a 3D kind of sculpture thingy of what the great man would look like if he was a human. And I'll call it. The results are distressing.
This is a big call, Tim.
You've had a sneak
peek. I've only had a very quick look. I haven't looked closely.
You had a sneak peek. And I'm handing you some sheets of paper. There's four different shots of... And the printout is terrible. I have to apologize.
No, that's
these
right.
are in black and white. And for some reason, there's stripes running through it all. But that gives you an idea of what this artist believes Homer would look like if he was human. And if this creation was a human, he looks like he's seconds away from certain death.
He certainly isn't a pleasant looking man. Like, I wouldn't have thought Homer was a, you know, this guy's bordering on repulsive and looks like he has some sort of health condition. His eyes are popping. He's very thick around the shoulder neck area, which I wouldn't have thought is Homer's thing. But
It's the eyes, I think. There's a real bulge factor on the eyes. Mm. Extraordinary amount of bulging eyes.
Yeah. I think if he'd brought the eyes back a bit, probably would be more acceptable.
But the rest seems feasible.
Yeah.
And it is kind of interesting to see this cartoon character who we're so familiar with and see him reinterpreted in this way, which is kind of interesting. Like, Homer as a human? Can you imagine that?
Mm.
The guy's got the, you know, the 5 o'clock shadow that somehow is completely contained to just the goatee shape around his chin.
Yes.
So, you know, fairly accurate. Had a lazy 60,000 retweets when I last looked at it. The artist had tweeted out these photos.
Yeah.
Been reported around the world. So, you know, good job for him. Got himself some publicity.
It's funny, the balding Homer Simpson head we know as like the M shape of hair on the side and the two strands coming across, which in reality isn't really feasible. So to see this guy with realistic balding hair, that's different as well.
Yeah. Not the first time we've seen Homer in 3D, though.
No, there was an episode, wasn't there?
Yep. And from memory, he looked basically exactly the same.
Yeah, I think they went with more... That was more like... He looked like a Wallace and Gromit sort of character, really, didn't it?
Claymation, was it?
Yes, yeah. No, it was. It was actually quite cutting edge, I think, at the time.
Oh, yeah. I remember it being a huge deal.
I've wondered, like, so how many retweets did you say?
At least 60,000.
How does that fit on the scale of activity on the internet?
That's more than I've ever had.
I was going to say, that shows that The Simpsons still has a bit of currency, which is mind-blowing. I mean...
And it's sort of the opposite of what people usually like to do, which is make a cartoon, make a Simpson version of yourself. You take your real life photo and Simpsonify it. That's pretty fun. I think I have seen my version of that. I feel like I did that a few years ago.
Yeah, right.
And that's kind of fun. But to see it go back the other way,
yeah,
much less fun.
Given the juggernaut of The Simpsons, I've always been surprised that they haven't had a crack of using actual humans to do a movie style. So we've seen the Flintstones. Probably 15, 20 years ago, they did a thing with John Goodman, and I thought that looked really good. I thought it was really pleasing to the eye. I guess the shortcomings of using actual humans for The Simpsons is that a lot of the comedy gold is physical humor that you just couldn't do in real life. But you know.
No, like have Homer getting a hammer stuck in his eyeball.
Yeah, but I guess special effects, you could do it.
You could do it. And it would be interesting. I don't know. Maybe the budget would be astronomical. But maybe they're keeping that up their sleeve.
Yeah.
Final shot in the you know, the last roll of the dice. One they've milked absolutely everything they can out of the show. Talk about it. There's talk of a sequel movie. But then once it's all absolutely spent, then they might roll out now live-action Simpsons movie starring Dan Aykroyd as Homer Simpson.
I have a feeling that, I mean, The Flintstones was a really old cartoon, and it took 30 years before they even dared to go there.
Yeah.
So I think they'll be maybe giving it a bit of time.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
I'm so glad that the live-action Flintstones movie was pleasing to your eye.
Look, I'm pretty sure it wasn't a very good movie, but it was... It it lived up to what the cartoon was. It?
Yeah.
I know you're laughing at me.
Just a phrase. Just pleasing to my eye.
Well, yeah. I have a way with words, and it's not a good way. So, yeah, this doesn't make me feel good about Homer Simpson.
No, it makes me feel like he needs help. He needs to get on a diet. He needs to push his eyes back into his head somehow. Get Homer, get fit, get healthy, improve your diet, do some exercise, because we're seeing the reality of your lifestyle, and it is terrible. You've got to change your ways. Newsman, I want to do a Newsman web guy version of this Reddit Ask Me Anything little segments they do on that popular internet.com website, where they will talk to someone and it's just ask me anything, and people just send their questions and the person answers.
Okay.
I'm going to give you this headline, and then I want you to just ask me anything, because I'm hoping, one, you have a lot of questions.
Yes.
I certainly did, but I have immersed myself in this story and I feel confident I can answer all of the questions I'm sure you'll have as soon as I tell you.
Once again, I feel very uneasy when you do research, web guy, but go ahead.
Okay, here's the headline. The shocking moment a Kentucky snake handling preacher is bitten and has to be carried from his church. This came out of some footage that went around earlier in the week. So, ask me anything, Marcus.
Where was he bitten? As in which part of the body?
Where? You went with where first, off the top. Yeah, well, interesting you asked that. He was bitten just about in the face. Doctors told him that it had just missed his... I don't have it right in front of me, so I'm hoping I've got this right, but something like temporal artery.
Right.
Which apparently... you know, it's just millimetres away from his temporal artery. And if it had hit that, it's see you later. All over. But the snake, like, it is lightning quick, gets him sort of above the ear, and instantly, like, simultaneously, he's got blood splattered on his shirt. Oh. And then it becomes more blood, more blood, more blood.
Wow, wow. What are the circumstances in which you are handling a snake in church?
Yeah, which you could also... phrase as why was he doing this?
Yes.
Okay, I'm glad you asked me that. His name is Cody Coots, just for some background. He runs one of America's last remaining snake handling churches. So what a snake handling church is where the pastor, the guy speaking up at the front, delivers his sermon while holding a lethal snake. This was a rattlesnake. And the idea is that is to display how much faith they have in God. God is not going to let the snake bite them. Apparently there's a promise somewhere in the Bible about, you know, God, you know, won't let you get bitten by a snake or something. Or if you do get bitten, as Cody Coots did, God will save you. He says, after Cody gets bitten, he tells his congregation, keep playing, I'm not worried at all. God's a healer, I'm not worried. Aww. And then shortly after, he became increasingly affected by the snake bite. His blood rushed down his face. Soon he was, and I'm only laughing... you know, in a general way. I'm not laughing specifically at his, you know, predicament, but, you know, you could argue he brought it on himself.
Yes.
Pretty soon he was choking and had to be carried out of the church. Went to hospital, was told, you'd nearly died, mate.
Mm. Now, what was the reaction of the congregation? Have they given the gig away? Or?
Well... part of the congregation helped get him to hospital. Mm-hmm. So it was all hands on deck, right, initially. I don't think it's going to stop the church. I think they'll be back again next Sunday. And the reason I say that with such confidence is because this is where this is a real kicker. Cody Coots' father was also a pastor at a snake handling church, and he died when a snake bit him. So his own dad did this exact same stunt and it killed him, and even that was not enough to stop Cody doing it. So I think these people are so convinced, hard to sway. You would have thought if they were going to be put off the idea, seeing the last pastor fatally wounded by a snake probably would have done it.
All right. Have I asked the questions that need to be asked?
I think so. I think so.
Now, I mean, my dad is a pastor of a church. Constant challenge to make religion relevant.
Yes.
But I have never seen or never seen him think about handling snakes. But the whole... There has to be an element in that congregation that is there with a thrill of, like, you know, this is cutting edge. This is, you know, testing your faith to the extreme.
Yeah.
So
I should point out from the video I've seen, you know, we talk about the congregation, the people there at the church service. Not a huge crowd.
Right.
Not a massive church, you wouldn't say. Could possibly be mostly family
members. So is it like
members.
The offering, the snake gets handed around? Or is it just the pastor that...
From what I have seen, not many actually willing to hold the rattlesnake. No. Only the pastor. Mm. I wonder, though, if your dad would be interested in my idea to perhaps just Australianise the concept. The snake wouldn't work. Clearly an insane idea. But maybe the crocodile pastor.
Ooh. Redback spider, bit more portable.
Well, yeah, what's more dangerous? Oh, really, the crocodile's more dangerous, isn't it?
Yeah.
The redback pastor. Yeah, that could be a really
And good at least that way you're not going to... I don't think you'd die from redback, would you? Or get very, very sick.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to... If it did bite you, you wouldn't want to hang around. You'd probably get on the first taxi to the hospital.
Mm. Well, thank you for testing my interview skills and thank you for telling the story as it was.
Newsman, did you know that winning the lottery will ruin your life?
I have heard a lot of stories where things go awry. Like, to most of us, it seems like a dream come true. All your problems would be solved and a life of leisure, travel, and pretty much not doing any more work, which sounds great. But I heard so many times how it's unfolded.
So many stories of people saying years down the track, oh, you know, I won the lottery and it ruined my life. It'd be interesting to tally it up. How many say it really improved their life versus how many said it ruined it? Because you really only hear from the ones who ruined it. You don't often hear the story about, we won $1 million and we still living in the Caribbean on a yacht. Anyway, one particular winner who very much regrets her whole situation from the UK. And did you know this? In the UK, she became the youngest ever lotto winner. She was 16.
Oh.
I don't feel like that would apply in Australia. Surely you have to be at least 18. So I don't know what they're doing over there. They're letting kids win the lotto? Yeah. Seems nuts.
Well, no wonder she blew it. I can feel a movie script coming on, and I haven't even heard what you're about to say. But
all right, well,
16
years old. She pocketed $3.5 million in Australian.
Yep.
You beauty, she said at the time. She didn't actually. I'm just, you know, paraphrasing.
It's a bit Aussie for her.
Yeah.
English lass.
She said, "Stone the flaming crows." This is Bonza. But she quickly blew that $3.5 million. She, by her own admission, wasted it on breast augmentations, parties, cars, drugs. Sounds like she's living the life of Charlie Sheen or something. I don't know. You know, I guess there's a lot of cliches in there.
Mm.
But at 16, I guess... Your head's not right to handle that amount of money.
Mm.
She'd been working as a checkout girl, and she did that, you know, that fantasy thing where she just immediately quit Never went back to work.
Yep.
Let the partying begin. $436,000 went on cocaine. $31,000 went on three boob jobs.
Three?
So I don't think they're saying she has three boobs. I think they're saying she...
Bigger, please.
Something, I don't know. $523,000 went on clothes.
No.
She gave at least $872,000 to family and friends.
Okay. Well, can they loan her some money?
Hopefully. Anyway, she later realised that some of those quote-unquote friends... They just used me for my cash.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. So this has become a cautionary tale because how sad's this? She's now... I don't know how old she is. She's grown up. She's an adult now. She has a son. Her son has cerebral palsy. He can't walk unaided. He can't talk. He can't swallow unaided. And so now she's come out and she's saying, well, this is terrible because I had all this money and I just squandered it. Now I have a son with serious needs and I don't really have the money to give him everything he needs. You know, she's thinking, I wish I had that lotto money now. I could actually use it to improve the life of my son. She says, it's my one big regret that the money isn't there for Blake. He loves sensory stimulation. If I had that money, I'd give him the biggest sensory room you could buy. But she doesn't have it. So it's sad.
Mm.
But I don't know. There's a lesson there for us, perhaps.
Now, the last bit of the story rings a few bells for me. I hadn't heard the first part of it. Did she set up like a GoFundMe page or... I guess there would have been little...
I don't think she has. You're not probably going to get much support for a GoFundMe page for a previous lotto winner who's blue three.
Have you ever thought about winning the lotto and how you'd manage it?
No, I'm opposed. I don't have many principles, but one of them is I'm anti-lottery.
Right. Right. I rarely, if any... get tickets, but I have thought about it.
You're backpedaling now.
No,
because like, I said that.
No, but I have thought about it a lot. I have thought about it a lot.
What you would do?
Well, the basics, like I would, if there was a block of money. So, for example, a Melbourne fellow, I think, in his 20s, won $20 million recently in Powerball. So there's another young person that has some challenges ahead to keep the money intact.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'd probably, if it was 20, I'd delegate X amount to family members.
Yeah.
And restrict it to close family members.
Yeah. And then, what about that second cousin who comes asking with a real good sob story?
No, I'd keep it. it gets a bit difficult.
Gets tough, doesn't it?
But you would have thought there is a certain lotto at the moment where you get paid every week. And I reckon if you went and saw a financial advisor, they'd probably, if they say, if you're going to retire, make for this young girl, if it's $3 million, here is your wage every year.
Yeah.
And if you want it to last 30 years, this is how much you can have each year.
Yeah.
And then you pretty much live a normal life. You don't go, you'd probably still be well off, but.
Yeah. Like instead of spending half a mil on cocaine, you just spend a couple of grand
on
cocaine.
Like you're probably earning 10 grand a month. There's plenty of cocaine money there. Not that we're condoning it. We're just saying if spread out your vices.
There would be financial
budget
advisors.
For your vices.
I don't know what kind of consciences financial advisors have, but there would be some hearing that story and thinking, oh, by God, you know, all it would have taken with something very simple, like you've just explained, she would have been set for life. She still would have had, spending money and had an absolute ball. And this is just the worst possible thing.